Christmas Eve is to rediscover Christmas and what it means to us. You know, the title of today's message, and it centers around hope, is Refueled by Hope in a World Running on Empty. Refueled by Hope in a World Running on Empty. You know, when you think about the world and the situation we're in, we can really end up feeling empty. We have a global pandemic. We have economic instability. Many people are unemployed. There's political divisiveness. There's cultural upheaval. There's racial hostilities. There's record wildfires. There's hurricanes. There are devastating floods. Sports are canceled. Colleges are on Zoom. And schools, many are on a hybrid learning system. Let me tell you, there are so many things going on in our world, we tend to feel like we are running on empty. Now, I came across a picture that I thought just kind of summarized it all. And I'm going to have Allison put it up. You know, so here's a picture of a gas gauge, and the needle is on empty, and that person in there is you and me. We are trying to take the needle and somehow bend it back so that we feel better about life and we feel more full and more satisfied. I thought that picture just kind of communicates it all. We are living in a world that's running on empty. I mean, there's so many things going on. Okay, here's the great truth, the kernel truth of today's message. God wants to refuel your life and mine with something called hope. So the whole message today is on hope. How you and I, that when we practice certain principles, our tanks will be refueled and refilled and we'll feel better about life. God is in the business of wanting to fill people's lives with this thing called hope. And so that's our theme for today. Here's a simple definition of hope. And if you're, the sermon listening guide is on the Facebook page if you want to follow along, but here's the definition. It's the confident expectation that what God has promised will come to pass. In other words, when you and I have hope in God's word, and we're trusting in Jesus in our life, we're trusting in his word, we can have a confident expectation that whatever God has promised to you and to me, it's going to happen. It may not happen today, but hope becomes an anchor by which we do life by. And so today we're talking about this thing called hope, and how God wants to refuel and refill your tank so that you feel better about life and even the month of December. So, in your notes, I want to share with you three thoughts of how God can refuel us through hope. Let's get started. Number one, the first thing how God does this, hope sees beyond the current circumstances. Hope sees beyond what's currently going on in your life, in mine. It sees beyond what's going on in our world. That's what hope does for us. Now, in the book of Luke, which it's the one of the stories of the birth announcement of Christ, and then there's a story about after he's born, there's a passage in chapter 2, verses 25 to 32, about a guy by the name of Simeon. Now, Simeon is an older guy by now, but there's some scriptures dedicated to his story, which talks about seeing beyond present circumstances. I want to read for you verses 25 to 32. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. In other words, he was God's man. He wanted his life to count in his faith, and he was doing all that he could to do it right. He was waiting. I want you to circle that word. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In other words, he had studied the Old Testament, and he knew there was a promised Messiah coming. And the Holy Spirit had spoke to him and said, you will not die until you see him. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. So here's Simeon, up in years, probably knowing the end of his life is approaching, and he's waiting. It says he's waiting for God to fulfill the promise that he would see the consolation of Israel, or Jesus himself. Now, when you think of the word waiting, it's not like waiting in a line at Disney World, just kind of waiting for whatever to get up to the event or the experience. This word waiting is powerful. It's actively, intentionally persevering. It is expecting something. It is keeping a good attitude until it happens. He is locked on to a promise. He's waiting with anticipation for God to fulfill a promise in his life. Hey, what are you waiting on today? What is it in your life that you thought God spoke into your life, but it hasn't happened yet? I think for Simeon, he didn't wait weeks. He didn't wait months. I think he waited years. And I want you to know, if you have something in life, in your life you're waiting on, hey, do it with a positive attitude of expectation. Persevere, hang in there, watch for it, look for it, be intentional, get excited about it, even though, present tense, you don't see it. You know why? Because hope will refuel you when you look beyond your current circumstances. I thought about, you know, what are some of the things that we look for, we are waiting for? You know, maybe for some people we're waiting for normal again. I received an email from a mom that has children, and she was very concerned about the kids in our community, their mental health state, things going on, and wanting to get together. And boy, we so agree with that person. We all want this sense of reconnection, but we have to look beyond the current circumstances, knowing that the vaccine's coming. It may take a half year, may take a little longer, but we have to just hang in there, and you hope, knowing that something good or better is coming. Maybe you're in grief from the loss of a loved one, and you wonder if life will ever return to normal. We have to look beyond the circumstance and trust God for something better. Or maybe it's a new job, or maybe it's waiting for the right person to come along, that the guy or the girl, the person you've been waiting for marriage, and it hasn't happened. And you are waiting even though you don't see it now. Hey, you know what happens when you wait with expectancy from God's promises? Listen, you feel alive inside. When you and I get excited and anchored to a promise from God, it will bring aliveness into your life. It hasn't happened yet, but the expectation is there as if it has. And so in the life of Simeon, I think he kept alive on the inside because he trusted in God's promise, and he waited with expectation, a sense of purpose and intentionality, and he kept his attitude good. And then one day, it just happened, and Jesus showed up, and he got to hold him. And then he says, Lord, just as you have spoken and promised, you can dismiss your servant in peace. That promise actually kept Simeon going. I think for years. And when you and I get a hold of a promise that we believe God has for our life, listen, it will keep us alive on the inside, regardless of our age. I once heard a pastor talk about this. The way to stay alive in life, whether you're young, middle-aged, or elderly, is to get a hold of the promises of God, feed on it, feast on them, and it just keeps us energized, trusting. We have a confident expectation that what God has promised, He will fulfill. So that's number one. You got to look beyond the current circumstances. Let's look at point number two when it comes to refueling your life with hope. Hope believes in a purpose behind the pain. Hope, in God's word, believes in a purpose, a bigger purpose behind the pain. I want to read Luke 2, 33 to 36. It's also about Simeon. Let me share it with you. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Now here's the key thought. "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now he's speaking to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus is just a baby. He's prophesying. And he's saying this: Jesus is destined to cause the rising and the falling of many. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he will redefine people's past. He'll redefine our present and redefine the future. That's who he is, God's son. But here's the key thought. He says to Mary, when Jesus is a baby, and she's ecstatic that she is the mother of Jesus himself, he says, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." As Jesus grew up and he dealt with different groups of people and all the unfairness of life, a mother's heart is always sensitive to her children being treated fairly. And Jesus was not. You get to the end of his life, he's 33, he's hanging on a cross. Mother Mary is there at the foot of the cross, watching her son be crucified. A sword will pierce your own soul too. She felt the pain of what had happened to her son Jesus, and the mother's heart wanting to be protective. She just had to feel crushed and hurt. But listen, there's a purpose behind her greatest pain. Jesus died so that he could be the Savior, the rescuer of us from our sins and from ourselves. What kind of pain do you have in your life? Have you lost a loved one? Seems unfair, it hurts. Have you been betrayed by someone? Has someone treated you unfairly? Maybe it's a health issue, whatever it is, and there's a sense of pain in your life. Listen, hope will refuel your soul if you can believe God for the bigger purpose behind the pain. When you and I lay hold of that by faith, can I tell you something? We can somehow find new strength. We can endure and persevere in the midst of our pain because the purposes of God, He can turn bad into good. He can take the worst circumstance and somehow recycle it and use it going forward. He takes those lessons that we have learned in the past, and we become teachers to other people. So hope believes in a purpose behind the pain. So number one, hope sees beyond the current circumstance. Number two, hope believes in a purpose behind the pain. And finally, number three, hope gives power to share the story with others. In Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38, this is about Anna, and she's a prophetess. But let me read those verses to you. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So her name is Anna. She probably got married in her late teens. Let's say she was 18. She was married to her husband for 7 years. He died. She was a widow at age 25. She is now 84. 59 years have passed. 59 years have passed. And she made her life count. She never left the temple, but worshiped there day and night, fasting and praying. In other words, she took her hurt and God turned it into hope. She took the hardship of her life and he turned her into a mouthpiece of hope for other people. She shared the good news of what Christ could do in her life. What is it you need for God to turn into something good? Anna became a mouthpiece. She spoke about the child, Jesus, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. What is it that God will give you power to overcome so that you can share your story with other people to encourage them? You see, hope gives us power and it refuels our life when we trust and believe in the power he gives us. As I thought about the pandemic, I came to realize that I believe that God is creating a hunger and thirst in people's lives. And when we get rocked in such a way as the pandemic has, all of a sudden we begin to ask deeper questions of life. We struggle more. And I think God is creating a hunger out there for people to understand that they need to connect with their Creator. It's just a instinct he puts in us. Eternity is planted in every person's heart. And you know what? God needs us, his children, you and me. You're listening today. He needs you to tell your story of hope to somebody that is currently hopeless. They're trying to figure it out. Anna was that person. You can be an Anna today. There's people that we know in our neighborhoods, who we work with, our schools, our community. They're waiting to hear the answer of how to find anchors in life that keep them in place when the storms of life hit. So just a quick summary here, three simple thoughts. How does God refuel our life? Well, hope sees beyond. You got to look beyond what's happening today and say, hey, in a few months or in a half year or whatever your promise from God is, you got to hang on to that and look for it and expect with intentionality that God will deliver what he's promised. Number two, you got to believe in a purpose in your pain. Whatever your pain is, God can take it, recycle it, and he can use that in such a way to help other people. And finally, hope gives us power to share the story with others. God will anoint you. He will bless you to share your transformation story, just like Anna's, a widow for 59 years. But she became a mouthpiece of hope to other people, to everyone that would listen. I'm going to close with a slide. Here's a picture of what I think God wants us to experience this coming month. It's a picture of a gas tank, a little bit different one. It's gas gauge. Only this time, the needle is on full. You see, there's something exciting about when you go on a trip and you go to the gas station before you leave, you fill the tank up, and you know you can go a whole bunch of miles on a full tank of gas. There's just something fun about that. When the needle gets down towards the bottom, we start to feel a little bit of uncomfortability because we know we need to refill it and fill it back up. But listen, the month of December, it's Christmas season. A lot has changed in our world, but listen, you can experience your gas gauge, your gas needle, on full for the entire month of December if we confidently expect God to fulfill his promise. We see beyond the circumstances. We hope in a purpose behind the pain, and we believe in the power to share our story to other people. You know, I started out with the picture of the needle bent backwards. I want to have Allison put that up. And this is us, how we generally think we do life. We're exhausted. But going back to the other one now, this is what I want you to experience come December 31st, that your tank is filled up because you have rediscovered Christmas. You've allowed Christ to live in you through his power and spirit, and you make the journey through the Advent season, and your tank will stay full. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for hope. The first Sunday in Advent that refuels our lives and our hearts. And we thank you that your power, your mercy, your grace is in abundance to experience life to the fullest. I pray for everyone listening today, Lord, that we will refuel our lives with this thing called hope. And somehow, some way, today and this week will be special because we refocus our life and we seek to rediscover what Christmas and your giving of your son, what it really means to us. And Father, if there's anyone listening today and they've never committed their lives to Christ, here's a simple prayer. I want you to pray it after me wherever you're at. Father, thank you for your love today. I ask you to forgive me of trying to do life my way. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and he lives forevermore. Right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart, and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. May he be my Savior. May he be my Lord. May he give me hope, new hope, from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen.